Let us turn again to the second epistle to the Corinthians, to chapter 4 and to verse 4. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. And this follows on, as we have noticed today already, from the verse which states, if a gospel be hid or hidden, it is hid to them that are lost. If our gospel is hidden, and then we are pointed to the terrible work of the evil one, the God of this world, who is doing all in his power. And that, of course, is limited. But he is doing all in his power to prevent the gospel penetrating into the hearts of sinners, and to prevent also the warnings of Scripture from making people think about their position, doing what he can to prevent sinners from leaving his kingdom. And he's very active in that today, and most people, the vast majority of people, as far as one can see, are content with that, content to be blinded, content to suffer from spiritual blindness, to go on in the ways of darkness. That's it. That's what's going on. The devil is at it. He blinds those who are listening to a sermon, that he might keep them in his kingdom. And we were trying to consider already today what Satan is doing in the way of blinding. We took a number of specific examples of Scripture truth and noticed that he was doing his utmost to keep people in the kingdom of darkness. Now, there are two other main points that I intimated, but we didn't reach them. And then point number two is to say something about God's light, you see. The light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God. That light, the light of the gospel. Though there's also the light of Scripture truth generally that must enter people's hearts. And of course, there's something of the figurative about these words, but they closely parallel another way of putting things, and that is that the Lord gives the blind their sight. The Lord Jesus in this world gave sight to many blind people, and it was never known, there's no record of it in Scripture in the Old Testament of the Lord giving sight to a blind person. And yet David, or the psalmist anyway, I think it might well be David, has it in the psalm, the Lord doth give the blind their sight. Yes. The Lord doth give the blind their sight. And you see, we had it in Psalm 105 that God's word is a lamp to one's feet and a light to one's path. Thy word, the psalmist says, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, so that I might go through this world in a right way. But I need light. It is a dark world. You see, there's the dark, there's the spiritual darkness. And how am I going to navigate my way through this world? Well, how are we generally going to navigate our way through this world as individuals? It's a dark world, I said. And that's what the Bible is telling us. It's a dark world. And there's this evil being going about, doing all in his power to keep people in darkness. So we need light. We need the light that will penetrate into our souls. And when the psalmist was saying what I quoted from Psalm 119 and what we sang in the morning, thy word is a light. Thy word provides light. Now, of course, there's something else that's needed, and we may come back to that. There's something else that is needed, and that is the light coming into our souls. Satan being put out of the way, up to a point anyway. Satan being sufficiently put out of the way, so that sinners might get good for their soul. So that sinners might see, you see. There's the work of the Holy Spirit. Taking away the darkness. Preventing the darkness from spreading in the soul. Taking away the darkness. How do you take away darkness? Go into a dark room and what do? You switch on the light. Well, a dark soul, how can the darkness be removed? It's when the Holy Spirit brings light into the soul. And where does that light come from? It comes from the Word of God. That's why we're to be thinking about the Word of God and reading the Word of God and listening to the Word of God being expounded. Explained. And praying. We should be praying that the Lord would give the Holy Spirit. The Savior promised to give another comforter. And that was, he himself was the first comforter. But then there was another comforter whom he would send. And that was the Holy Spirit. And he was sent. He came into the world in a particular way, in a new way, on the day of Pentecost. Yes. And he has been working in this world ever since. Sometimes more, sometimes less. That's the thing. Sometimes more and sometimes less. But he's always been working in this world. The people of God, believers, into whose hearts the light has come. They have never been taken away from this world. There's always been some. Always, there always have been some. And that's a mess. What a world it would be if there were no believers, no children of God. And that community is a poor community when there's no one there who has access to the throne of grace. No one to pray. No doubt there are many such communities in this country and other countries. Especially perhaps when steps are taken to keep the Word of God out, where it is illegal to have a copy of the Word of God. Well, these days, of course, that the Word of God may be broadcast. There are radio stations to do that. But, you see, we're not in that terrible position. We're not. That's a blessing. Are we thankful for the mercies that we have? We might complain about the state of things today, but, you see, have we? Are we thankful that things are not worse? Are we thankful that we have various privileges? We can gather here at any time we want, as far as the authorities are concerned. It's not illegal to come to church. It's not illegal to have a Bible. It's not illegal to act as a Christian. Yes. You see, we are to make use of the Word of God. That's a privilege. And oh, what a terrible thing it would be, and it happens, it certainly happens, to go to eternity without having made use of the Word of God, to have continued willing to be held in darkness by the evil one. Yes, but what I'm speaking about is, the main point just now is, the light, God's light, the light that God sends into the heart of a sinner. Now you see, we have the Word of God. What we should be asking for is that the Lord would send His Word into our hearts. That we'll not only read it, that we'll not only hear it read, but that we would receive it. That's one side of it. And the other side is that the Holy Spirit would come upon us. Yes. As the Holy Spirit came down on the day of Pentecost, we may come back to that again and again. But there's something so wonderful about it. It's so much part of the beginning of the New Testament church, that the Holy Spirit was given in a visible way. And the Holy Spirit worked. The Holy Spirit did send light into the heart of 3,000 sinners. The Holy Spirit sent light into the hearts of 3,000 sinners. What a blessed work went on that day. With Peter in the lead, it would seem. But he wasn't the only preacher. And it came to this, repent and be baptized, every one of you. Repent, turn from your sins. And no doubt, he included this in the idea of repentance. Believe. Believe in Christ. He was speaking about Christ. And he was speaking about the sins committed about Christ. But he had the center of the gospel there when he spoke about Christ, who was delivered by the hands of the ungodly. But there was the determinate purpose and foreknowledge of God in the matter also. The determinate purpose of God. What a blessing. Oh, may there be a determined purpose of God in connection with our gatherings this evening and at other occasions, that there would be the powerful working of the Holy Spirit. What Satan is trying to prevent, you see. Satan putting so much effort into it. And when Satan is mentioned, it's implied that there are other devils involved. Satan cannot be in any number of places at once. He's not divine. Totally, he is not divine. God is everywhere at once. And the Holy Spirit can be working in any number of hearts at once. Not so the devil, but there are many devils. And whatever devils may be active in this church this evening, however many devils there may be that are trying to keep sinners in darkness, that are trying to make sinners go on saying, it's not as bad as all that. There's no hurry. There's no hurry. You see, that evil work. You see, if there's in this world a few people coming together and they're trying to lure somebody away so that they can murder that person. And if you were to come across them, if you were to see what they were doing, if all that, for instance, was to come out in a trial, then you would say what wicked men these were, how evil they were in the way they went about things. Oh, then think of the devils and their activity in luring people to eternal destruction, trying to keep them in darkness, doing all in their power to lead them on along the broad way that leads to a lost eternity. Yes. But two words that come into my mind just now in connection with all that is, whom resist, whom, referring to the devil, resist. Resist him, sinner, who is trying to say these things to you. It's not as bad as all that. There's no hurry. Things like that. As we were trying to think about these things this morning. Yes. Yes. But you see, whom resist? Lay hold of the word of God. What did the Savior do when he was being attacked by the devil himself? When Satan came to the Savior, even quoting scripture, he had an answer. But where did he get his answer? He got them in the word of God. How are we to resist the evil one? We're to lay hold firmly on the word of God. Is he telling us that there's no hurry? No hurry. Oh, well, let us bring to mind something that says the opposite. Let us think of something like this. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Try to do that in the midst of temptation. Try to do that in the midst of distraction. Call on the Lord to help you. Call on the Lord to banish these wicked thoughts from your mind. These thoughts that are intended to keep you under Satan's control. To keep you on the broad way that leads to destruction. Yes. Lay hold on them and plead earnestly with the Lord to stretch out his hand and pluck you from the devil. Pluck you out of Satan's kingdom and set you on the rock. Yes, as you have it in Psalm 40, that the Lord set David on a rock. He established his goings. And where will the sinner be if his goings are established? Where will the sinner be? There'll be going in the direction, at least we might say, if he's on a rock, that he is facing the direction, so to speak, facing the direction where God is, where Christ is. What direction is that? Well, perhaps without keeping the framework of the illustration intact, without doing so. You see, it's a case of looking to Christ as he is revealed in the word of God. looking to Christ as he is revealed in the Word of God. That oft quoted expression, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That's it. Christ Jesus. There's hope there. Is there anyone here who feels near despair? Who's needing light? That the light of the glorious gospel would shine into your soul. Do you need light? Ah well, look to Christ. Hear him calling you. Hear him saying, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God and there is none else. And if the light of the glorious gospel was to shine into your soul, what a blessing that would be. Yes, God gives light. From the Word of God. From the Bible. That's where there's light. Where to be going to? Oh, send forth thy light and thy truth that they might be guides to me. And bring me to thy holy hill, where thy dwellings be. Yes. You see, what encouragements there are in the Word of God. And I come back to this. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Grasp that. Lay hold of that. The Lord making known that there is salvation for sinners like you. Do not leave, ask not to leave you to yourself. Be pleading with him, be pleading earnestly with him for the sake of Christ. There's no hope apart from Christ, but what hope, what blessed hope there is with Christ, who came into the world to save sinners. Yes, Christ came. He was a good shepherd who came to give his life for the sheep, who came to be a substitute, who came to die so that sinners might not die, so that sinners believing in Jesus would not die. Would not go down to destruction. Would not go down to that place where there is the blackness of darkness forever. Where there is a complete absence of hope. Oh, what a thought. But ask the Lord to deliver you from that. Ask the Lord to send light into your soul. What a blessing. You see, if all we had was the warnings, and they're true, the danger of a lost eternity, there's no hope for a sinner in that. There was a man in Ireland who was preaching, and preaching very effectively in its own limited way, in the 17th century. And many, many were awake, but he had no gospel. Something strange about it all. But you see, the Lord works in his own way. It was the truth he had, absolutely. But you see, he wasn't preaching Christ. And so what other ministers did was to come and preach the gospel in that particular district. And many were converted. There was much light granted. Many souls got light. There was Lydia. And though some might think that she was converted before Paul came, I doubt it. But anyway, take the incident in the way it is normally taken. She's there. She's hearing Paul preach. He preaches, no doubt, law and gospel. And then we read this about the work of the Holy Spirit in Lydia's heart, that the Lord opened her heart. What went into her heart when the door of her heart was opened? Well, light went into her heart. Light on Christ. Wasn't that a blessing? And oh, let us be praying that under the word our hearts would be opened and the darkness would be expelled. You may remember what I said a little while ago. How do you get darkness out of a room? You switch on the light, or you bring a light in. Bring even a candle in, and there's a measure of light. Ah, well, there's this. The Lord opening the heart of a sinner, and he brings in the candle of the gospel, the lamp of the gospel. Ah, but it's a light that is capable of filling the whole soul. And yet one must say, the Lord works differently with various sinners. Some may have the full light of the gospel filling their hearts at once. When once the Holy Spirit has opened the door and the light of the gospel message comes in, and it may be just a wee tiny candle, but there's light. And it's enough so that they might see the all-glorious Saviour and rest upon it. Yes. The Lord doth give the blind their sight. The bowed down doth raise. The Lord doth dearly love all those who walk in upright ways. You see, that's going on a bit. Though there's a beginning of walking in the ways of uprightness. When Satan is put out, what a day. Oh, if a city had been under siege for any number of years, and the siege was lifted, the enemies were sent away, whatever means might be used, what rejoicing. Now if the great enemy of the soul is sent away, when light comes into the soul and the Holy Spirit comes to dwell there, what rejoicing there should be. Though I mentioned the soul being brought into great light, or great light being brought into the soul, and the soul finds itself clearly in the Lord's kingdom, that there's a great change that has taken place, and that's perfectly clear. In other cases, it's by no means as clear as that. In many a case, it seems to be all confusion, and yet there's a little light, a little speck of light, will we say. And in that speck of light, the Saviour is seen. Just a speck of light. And the soul may feel great confusion. Looking to Jesus, however weak, and quite unable to say at that point that they have found the Messiah. But you see, the Lord knows. And there may be many a one here, and they could not point to a particular day when the light began in their soul and they began to look to Christ. See, that's not an important question. When did I first look to Christ? We might get it wrong, even although we try and lay things out in an orderly way. It's far as the Lord's dealings with us was concerned, we may, and yet, get it wrong. You see, the great question with us is this. Have I found Christ? Not when, but have I? Let us be asking that we are walking in the light. Is there resistance to the temptations of the evil one? Has he complete power over us anymore? That's the important question. Are we looking to Christ? Have we found? Has there been some little degree of light coming into our souls? Some definite degree of light? Yes, that's the question. May the Lord show us. May the Lord give us some further light so that we would know if we have passed from death into light, into life. The Lord is able. Nothing is too hard for him. But the important thing is this, that we would be out of Satan's kingdom, that we would not be submitting to the evil one and his temptations. Yes, the people of God be influenced by some particular temptation. Peter, however illustrious an apostle he was to be, how low he was brought by a temptation, a repeated temptation. And that's how the evil one works. Repeated temptation. He knows what it is to try and try and try again. May the Lord protect us. You see, that must be our defense. It must be the city of refuge that we would go to. You see, somebody has done something terrible. It's been a terrible accident. He was chopping down a tree and the axe head flew off and it hit somebody and he caused his death. That's the example we have. One of them anyway. What can he do? Someone will come after him. The avenger of blood will come. And his life will be taken. Unless he can find a place of safety. Where can he go? He must go to the place that God has appointed. Never thought that he would have to make use of it. But off he goes as fast as he can. Doesn't wait to say goodbye to his wife or anything like that. He daren't go home to bid his wife and children goodbye. But he's off. He drops the axe handle. Away he goes. He must get to the city of refuge. It's been appointed by God. Well, there's a city of refuge for you, sinner. It's appointed by God that you would go there. What's the city of refuge, do you ask? What do you mean? It's Christ. Go to him. Ask him to draw you. You'll never get there unassisted. You must look to Christ. You must have the Holy Spirit. Your prayers will not save you. That's true. But you're to pray. Seek the Lord. It's not for your seeking or your much seeking that you will be saved. But seek. It's God's command. It's for you. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Yes. And may the Lord bless you in it. May the Lord meet with you. That's a blessed idea. The Lord meeting with a sinner. Where do the Lord and the sinner meet? They meet in the word of God. They meet in the call of the gospel. Yes. The Lord and the sinner meet together. The mercy of God towards a sinner. Oh, may that sinner be each of us. Meeting with Christ in his word. Meeting with Christ in the preaching of the word. Oh, come sinner, come to Christ. Lay yourself down upon him. Perhaps if that adds anything to the illustration. The man gets into the city of refuge and he can't go any further, but he's got just inside the gate and he collapses. He can't go any further. He's exhausted. Yes. And he's safe. Yes. He's safe. You see, if we find Christ, we're safe. Let us not give up. Go to Christ. Yes, I answered the question already. Where will we meet? Where will we find? And the answer is, it's in the Word of God. We'll meet Christ in the Word of God. That's where we're to be, in the Word of God. A great deal in thinking of what's in the Word of God. You can take the Word of God with you anywhere. I mean in your mind. I've referred to that recently. Taking the Lord with you. I meant to say the Word of God. But if we have the Lord, let us seek to take him with us. That we would be having communion with him. The Lord gives light to sinners. But we must go on to the final point. And that is, what is Satan trying to achieve? When he is trying to blind the sinner, keeping the sinner in darkness, trying to prevent the light shining into that sinner's soul. You see, the sinner is going on, and the evil one is going on, keeping the sinner captive. And the Apostle Paul speaks to Timothy about those who are taken captive by him at his will, keeping them bound in his own kingdom, in the exercise of his own will. But remember, there is one that has a stronger will than that, and that is Christ. There's a sinner whom Christ died for, and Satan is keeping that sinner bound in his own kingdom, keeping him in darkness, doing all that he can to prevent the light shining into his soul. Yes. He is the strong man armed, that is Satan, who is keeping sinners bound. But then there comes a stronger than he. And that can only be God, or in particular, it is Christ. And he overcomes the strong man, and he overcomes. He overcomes the strong man. He overcomes Satan, the god of this world. And he sets the sinner free. He sets the sinner free. What a great blessing. The Lord does. The Lord did it with Saul of Tarsus. He met with him. Going, rushing along to Damascus in Satan's service, and the light of the glorious gospel, which was to be so precious to him later, and it's been kept out. He's been kept in blindness. He's been kept in darkness. He doesn't believe. He doesn't believe the gospel. He doesn't believe that Christ Jesus, well, he wouldn't call him that, but Jesus of Nazareth, he wouldn't believe that he was the Messiah, the Christ. He was rejecting that. He was disbelieving that. But you see, it's not that he was forced to believe it. That wouldn't be an appropriate way to put it, but he was made willing. Light came into his soul, and he saw this. Christ is the one that was promised. Christ is the one who is to come as a Savior. He has come. And when he goes out to preach, as very quickly he did, then he was preaching on this, that Jesus is the Son of God. He is the Son of God. Light has flooded into his soul. What a great matter. What was Satan trying to do? He was trying to prevent all that. All the possibilities of a man who knew so much of the Old Testament, who understood it as far as the outward aspect of it was concerned. He was so able. And he was trying to keep him in his own kingdom. And he did for a time. And then light was put into his soul. And he went off. He went out of the kingdom, a free man. He came into the glorious liberty of the children of God. And on he went until he was brought to eternal glory. Now, there are others who go on in darkness. For the devil is keeping them in darkness. What various tones of darkness, perhaps we can say, the devil is using today. False religion, perversions of Christianity, secularism, and so on. People contend that they would not know whether there is a God or not, and then they decorate themselves, can we say, with a big word. Perhaps not so very big, but the word agnostic. They don't know. But there's darkness, you see. Why don't they know? It's the darkness. And the Lord and Satan keeping them in darkness. Yes. But, you see, the devil was a murderer from the beginning. He did not abide in the truth. Satan himself was in the truth at one stage. Very probably was very, very short. And he went out into the darkness. Yes. He went out into the night. And he's been in the darkness ever since. And trying to keep others in the darkness. Yes. And you see, if you find somebody saying, all these things have I kept from my youth up. He's claiming to have kept all the commandments of God, and perhaps he came close to it outwardly. But one thing we can be sure of is that he wasn't considering his thinking in the light of God's word. He wasn't considering his motives in the light of God's word. He was still in darkness. Oh, what a fearful situation to be. Not far from the kingdom of God. And yet he was in darkness. It's not enough to live an outwardly moral life. We must have Christ. We must turn from our sins, and we have plenty sins. Even if other people cannot see outward sins, still, there's the hidden sin of the heart. That's serious. That's more serious. Because out of the heart, other sins come. And there's a great sin of unbelief. This sinner, the rich young ruler, as we call, this sinner, he doesn't feel his need of Christ. Oh, he's in a bad way. He can do it without Christ. Yes, he's in darkness. Or, if we think about Demas, we're told that he loved this present world. No concern about eternity. Or if he had, and very likely he had some religious experience. But it wasn't such as took away the darkness of his soul. He is still a secret love to the things of the world. And it would seem that though that was kept under a degree of control, as one might say, other people couldn't see it. though there might have been hints from time to time, and yet he broke away from the restraints of the Christian community that he was fairly prominent in, no doubt. He broke away from that, and he showed that he was clearly one of Satan's subjects, submitting to him. Or the man that said to the Lord, in the parable, of course, "Thou art an austere man." Oh, how many would say religion is austere. Yes. But you see, there's such a thing as seriousness. And that's a good thing. Now that's perhaps not the point of the expression, because it's directed at God. Yes. That God should make things more easy for us. No doubt that's the idea. Why doesn't God make things easy for us to enter the kingdom, to be saved? Why isn't it made easy? Ah, well, the Lord might wish to try us, to test us. The Lord might wish to stir us up to seek him more earnestly, to deliver us from carelessness. The Lord is his own way of work. And whether we can understand the Lord's way of working or not, our responsibility is to seek the Lord and to come to him, to look to him by faith. Yes. Thou art an austere man. People are put off. Things aren't easy. Oh, very likely they want to have the world and Christ at the same time. They want to enjoy the things of the world and they want to have salvation at the same time. And when a clash occurs between these opposite desires, unless light floods into the soul, what comes out on top is the desire for the world. Oh, may the Lord preserve us. May we be willing to turn our back on the world and to look to Christ. To turn our back on the world and to look to Christ. That's what he calls us to, sinner. Come to Christ, look to him, trust in him. He is saying, believe. Believe in me. And he has preachers saying, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's how it was in the jail in Philippi. When the jailer was brought to this, what must I do to be saved? And the men, Paul and Silas, prisoners in the man's prison, and they say, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Is there a sinner here this evening asking, what must I do to be saved? And the answer must be, believe in Christ, go to him, trust in him, as the one who died for sinners and rose again. It's not what works can I do. How long should I pray? How many chapters of the Bible should I read? Yes. We should make use of these means of grace. But it's this. To believe in Christ. To look to him. Satan says to keep you away from Christ. To put obstacles in your way. To put unbelieving thoughts into your mind. Yes, whom resist? Resist the devil. That's what we're told. Keep at the word of God. Keep the truths of the word of God uppermost in your mind. Many a thought might come into your head. Many a thought, a distracting thought. A thought that pushes you away from Christ. Keep the thoughts of the word of God on top. Whom resist. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Resist the devil and ask the Lord to put him away, to take him off your back, so to speak, to take him out of your head so that you don't think his thoughts after you. But ask the Lord to give you grace to think the thoughts of truth that you find in the Word of God. Ask the Lord to deliver you from the work of the evil one, who goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist. Yes, ask the Lord to take away the darkness. Ask the Lord to send beams of glorious light into your soul, so that you would see Jesus, that is by faith, that you would receive him as the one who came into the world to save sinners. Yes, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. May the Lord bless his word to us. Let us pray. O Lord, thou knowest that we are weak, that we are so unable to listen to thy word. May thy kingdom come. May thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Grant to gather in sinners out of Satan's kingdom. Disturb them in their minds. Bring them to another mind. Put light in their soul. Take away the influence of the evil one from this generation, and cause that multitudes of sinners would hear the voice of Christ and come. Lord, have mercy on us all. Even the young ones, remember them. They are growing up. Lord, have mercy on them. Stir them up to seek thee. May they not go out into the world. May they not seek their best things from the world. But may they really go where there are best things. Thy mercy, thy grace, thy salvation. Oh, that we would be greedy for these things. May we be greedy for fellowship with Christ. Have mercy on us. Purge away our sin. Be our God and our guide forever. Oh, be directing us in all things and keep us in our minds. And may the evil one not go out to pluck out the plants that, or the seed that was sown this day here and elsewhere. Put a restraint on it. May not find all the seeds, but do thou seek to cause seeds to take root and to grow up. Ah, may that happen at a wide scale in our time. Bless us this evening, watch over us, bless us through the night, bless us through the week, bless us through what remains of our lives, and make us in earnest about our souls. Teach us to pray, and open our eyes that we might see Jesus. Pardon our sin. Make us thankful. For Jesus' sake, amen.